Thank you for joining us for our sermon podcast. Emmanuel United Methodist Church is located at 1351 Main Street in Welford, South Carolina. Our mission at Emmanuel states, by God's grace and the guidance of the Holy Spirit, we pursue Christ to become and make disciples for the transformation of the world. Our hope is that this message will help you as you grow in God's grace, trust in the guidance of the Holy Spirit, and to pursue Christ with all you have. Now sit back and listen for what the Lord may be saying to you as Pastor Andrew delivers today's message. Thank you.
One of my favorite illustrations that comes from the Advent time is a story about a young boy. A really young boy. A young boy who likes to get in trouble at home. Maybe he doesn't like to get in trouble at home, but he seems to always find himself in trouble. Can anybody else relate? Okay? Mainly, it feels like, it felt like in my experience only, and I've overcome this, it's not a problem in my life anymore, but it wasn't always my fault. Amen, right? Now y'all understand. I scared the baby, or you scared the baby. Can y'all tell I've overcome that problem in my life that it's not an issue anymore? But anyway, this young boy had gotten himself in trouble for not listening to his mother. And y'all probably heard this before, but the grandfather came in and wanted to know why his grandson was in timeout. And the mother explained, well, he didn't listen, he didn't follow the rules, and so he's going to sit in timeout. And the grandfather went on and tried to get her to change her mind, and she said, no, he is sitting in timeout, you can play with him when he gets out. So she leaves the room and comes back, and what she finds is the young boy is still in timeout, but so is grandfather. That grandfather has climbed over or whatever, you know, system of timeout it was, and is now sitting in timeout just to be with the little boy. It's a reminder for me of the people of Israel. It's a reminder to me of my life and lives of people that I'm familiar with, and how oftentimes we find ourselves in trouble. But the reality of Advent, the reality of Christmas, is that that our Father, our Heavenly Father, saw fit to come and to sit in time out with us, to come and sit in our world with us. So today we're going to be in John's Gospel. It's going to be a familiar verse, maybe the most familiar verse in all of Scripture. Jesus is actually having a conversation here with a Pharisee, and it's not an Advent-type Scripture, but I want us to hear it from that lens today. I want us to hear it from the lens of gifts, which is what we've been focusing on. And I think... Yeah, there it is. So let's stand and honor the reading of the gospel this morning if your health allows you to. But John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish but may have eternal life. And then John 3:17 says, indeed, God did not send the son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. This is the word of God given for you, the people of God. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. Father God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of each and every heart gathered here be pleasing and acceptable to you. You are our Lord, our God, our rock, and our Redeemer. Amen. So love. Love is one of those four words that we hear a lot during Advent. It's the last word of our gift series. We've already looked at hope and peace and joy, and today we conclude our circle with love. Our scripture famously proclaims that God so loved the world that he gave. And what he gave was a great gift, an amazing gift of love. But I started thinking this week, so really if we're going to narrow it down, what was that gift? Well, just like the grandfather getting into the situation with the young boy is what God did for us. And I love the way that this is put in John chapter 1, verse 14. It says this, and the Word, speaking of Jesus, it became flesh and lived among us. It lived among us. The Eugene Peterson, in his version of the Message, he puts it this way, and I just love how simple this sounds, but how true it is. It says, the Word became flesh and blood and moved into the neighborhood. And moved into the neighborhood. There's an old story out about a man and some birds by Paul Harvey. You might have heard it years ago, but it was on the radio, and now it's all over YouTube and in books and all sorts of things. But it's a story about a man, a good man, not an overly religious man, but a good man nonetheless, and cared for his family and did the things that he was expected to do. And when it came time to go to the Christmas Eve service, he told his wife he would not attend. He's a brave man. Did I tell you all that? He's a brave man as well. But he said, I'm truly sorry to distress you, but I'm not going with you to church this Christmas Eve. He said, I'd feel like a hypocrite, that he'd much rather just stay home, but that he would wait up on them. And so he stayed at the house, and they went to the midnight service. Y'all remember when the candlelight used to be at midnight? And those were good days. Could you imagine how empty the place would be if we did it at midnight now? Oh, man, those used to be the great. And you ring the bells and the neighbors didn't complain. Remember that? That was so much fun back in the day. I don't get to say back in the day much, so when I do, I really, really enjoy it. But shortly after the family drives away and they're out of distance and he kind of settles in by the fire, he starts to hear snow falling outside. And as that snow starts to fall, it falls harder and harder and harder. And he gathers his newspaper and he sits by the fire and he begins reading. And then he starts hearing this thud, this thumping, this thudding noise. And he thought, well, somebody's outside throwing snowballs at the window. Well, in reality, what had happened was that a bunch of birds got caught in the snowstorm. And now they were trying to find shelter, and they saw the light up through his living room window, and now they were flying into that window as in a desperate attempt to find shelter and warmth and safety. And so he decided that he wouldn't let the poor creatures lie there and freeze to death. So he put on all his things he needed. He put on his boots and his jacket and his hat and his gloves. And he went outside with the goal, with the hope, with the dream of being able to shoo them into his barn. And there they would be warm. There they would be protected. And then when the storm was over, he could let them out and they could be gone on their way. But there was a problem. They wouldn't follow him. They wouldn't listen to him. The closer he got, the further away they got. They kept flying into this window. So he decided maybe food was the answer. So he went back in and got some breadcrumbs and tried to entice them that way. And he just tried to get them to go towards the light in the barn where the other animals were, and they just wouldn't do it. He became very upset, and he didn't understand. He tried catching them. He said, maybe if I can catch them, then I can transport them in. And that didn't work. And then he realized that they were afraid of him. To him, he was this big, strange, terrorizing figure. It was something they were not familiar with. And he was just trying to find a way to get them to trust him. He said, I want them to know that I'm not trying to hurt them, but I'm trying to help them. But how? Because any move I make, they tended to frighten them, confuse them. They just would not follow me. They would not be led. They would not be shooed because they feared me. And then the famous line of the story says, if only I could be a bird and mingle with them and speak their language, then I could tell them not to be afraid. Then I could show them the way to the safe, warm barn. But I would have to be one of them so they could see and hear and understand. At that moment, he heard off in the distance the church bells ringing. And it said he sank to his knees in the snow. Now that story ends in a variety of different ways. But the reality is the man finally understood what Christmas was all about. That God probably had those same thoughts that he had about those birds. That if only they would trust me, if only they would follow me, if only they knew I was trying to help them and not harm them, I'm trying to take care of them, I'll have to become one of them. Is that not the amazing gift of love at Christmas? The only way for us to truly experience the fullness of God's love, the only way for us to truly understand, to see how much He loved us, was for him to put on flesh and to dwell among us. For him to come down and to move into the neighborhood. so that we could see, so that we could hear, so that we could understand his great love for us. I'm not a big playwright or anything like that. I don't have any famous books out that, you know, you would know if I did, because I try to get you to buy them. But Shakespeare, and I'm not a big Shakespearean guy, but it was once in an Advent Bible study that I was reading, it was once put this way, that Shakespeare knew every detail about his famous character Hamlet. He knew every detail. Why? Because it was his own creation. But if he wanted Hamlet to know anything about Shakespeare, then the author, Shakespeare, would have to write himself into the drama. He would have to put himself on the stage. God knew the only way that people could truly experience that great gift of love was to insert himself into the drama. And he does that through a humble birth of a Christ child at Christmas. I don't know if you've been told this Christmas season, this Advent season, but that's how much you're loved. You're loved that much that God was willing to do that. Knowing the end of the story, God was willing to start by moving into your neighborhood. We've been given a very, very, very good gift. The greatest gift of love. And as we prepare to conclude Advent, I hope and I pray that not only will we receive that gift of love, but we'll understand the responsibility that comes with it. You see, tomorrow night as we fill this place and we light the candles, and it's one of the most surreal 5-10 minutes of my entire year. I don't know if y'all agree with that or not, but there's a stillness, there's a calmness. In a moment, in just a moment, I can feel, I can see, I can experience the gifts of hope, peace, love, and joy through smiling faces and candles. But tomorrow is also an opportunity for us to share that love, to share the love with those that are here, but also to be renewed and rejuvenated and filled up, so that as we leave this place, every time we leave this place, that we could be an example as we gather with our friends and our families to celebrate Christmas the rest of the week. We could be an example of his great love for us and for them. Will you pray with me?
We hope this message encourages you in your walk with Christ. We would love for you to join us for worship at Emmanuel United Methodist Church, where becoming and making disciples is more than just a mission statement. For more information, you can visit us at emmanuelumc.com, or you can find us on Facebook at IUMC Welford. God bless.